You've found an encore presentation of the Taxi Stand Hour on Radio TFI.
You're listening to the Taxi Stand Hour.
You're not going to continue this broadcast, are you, sir?
On Radio TFI. Hey, it's that time again, folks. You're listening to the Taxi Stand Hour, Radio TFI, on this Saturday, February 3rd, 2018. Good morning from the soon-to-be-vacated Northern Command in West St. Paul, Minnesota. I'm John Shannon. And from beautiful, still-wearing-shorts weather, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Mr. Ed Van Ness. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Jealous much?
No. No, because like I told you before, come August, if you're not dodging hurricanes, you'll be walking around in your shorts making some great crotch pot cooking. So,
ew. So that just was unpleasant in so many ways. But good morning, kids. Welcome back. It is, holy crap, it's February. How did that happen, John?
Well, apparently,
how did that happen?
Apparently the groundhog saw its shadow. So
I understand Trump's hair saw its shadow, too. So it's 6 weeks till he's indicted.
I wish it could happen sooner. Oh, my God, this guy. Oh, you got to be kidding me.
It's a crying shame. We got absolutely nothing to talk about this week. Nothing. It's been such a slow, quiet week. And by the way, kids and kittens, this young man and I have not spoken at all since last Saturday, save for the, 10, 15 minutes before we came on air here. So we don't even know what the heck is going on with each other. And that's just kind of the way we like it.
Well,
so let me ask this, John. I know it's pretty boring up there in the Twin Cities. You guys got anything going on this weekend?
Well, there's a little football scrimmage going on in a very large building in Minneapolis. Yeah.
Nobody cares about that. Nobody cares.
Well, I've said it a million times now. The Patriots versus the Eagles is probably just about as compelling as watching a rerun of Dr. Phil.
Well, you know, it is what it is.
I have little to no interest in this game. I do love the fact, because they have been promoting the Super Bowl here as the Great North. You're playing in the Great North. Well, what are we giving them? 2 to 4 inches of snow today and ass-kicking cold tomorrow.
And nobody could have predicted this. Let's go to Minneapolis in February. What? How bad could the weather be?
Well, you could always play in Detroit in February, so that's which they have.
Or you could play in South Florida in February.
Yeah, well, you know.
Which is where the game should be. Here, the game should be rotated thusly. South Florida, New Orleans, somewhere out in Southern California, and every fourth year, some other schmuck dump up in the middle of nowhere. And every 4 years, everybody else gets a bite at the apple. In the meantime, 3 out of 4 years, let the places that know how to do this game do this game.
Well, what do you mean? What do you mean, let the places that know how to do this game? They have done a great job of throwing up sans the weather. They have done a fabulous job.
No, you can't sans the weather. The weather is a big part of it.
I have.
Because you have people out and about, or as they say up near the border, oot and a boot. And this is part of it. You want people out exploring your area and getting stupid drunk and falling down.
But people,
you don't want
people
freezing to the friggin' sidewalk.
People have
as they're
been
drooling.
Out here. People have been out here exploring.
They
have. They have. You should
yes,
see.
Yes, but they've got bundled up. It's frostbite falls. Moose and squirrel are going to show up at any point. And for God's sake, they're bundled up in parkas and ski masks and all that. Not here, buddy boy. Not when we do it here in South Florida, where God and Gil Christ intended the game to be had. Because we split it up. We split it up. We spread this bitch over like 50 miles.
Well, we haven't quite gone 50 miles, but, you know, there's still stuff going on in St. Paul here. And you have to remember that, and I told you this a little bit off air, they will, on come day, game day, if you are in a in one of the Minneapolis hotels, it's like a giant habit trail system here.
Right.
You do not have to step outside from your hotel room to get to one of these, to get to the stadium. You just follow one of these habit trails and you're on your way.
Okay, so now let's examine what you just said there. So I have just paid thousands of dollars in airfare and hotels and game tickets so I can be treated like a hamster.
Well, if you paid that much,
I don't step outside.
If you paid that much money to see this game, you deserve to be a fucking hamster as far as I'm concerned.
Mouth, language.
Yeah, it's still English.
My goodness. It's still Saturday morning. People are eating their Cheerios, for goodness sake. My goodness. All right. Oh, by the way, how is the Superb Owl tram doing?
I'm sorry, the Suburb?
Superb Owl. You didn't see that on the news.
I did not see that on the news.
You've got an elevated people mover there, little two-car trains?
No.
No?
No.
Well, maybe in the airport?
Well, there is a tram system in the airport.
There you go, little two-car.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, well, they had put on the side of one of the cars, and it's supposed to say Super Bowl 52. Well, it's Super with the B, and then the car splits, and it's OWL.
Oh.
So it's Super Bowl. Isn't
it
all the news?
Oh, my God. Then again,
you folks don't get the real news there. You only get fake news there.
You know, it's funny because I think I've watched two newscasts this whole week because, you know, there is something to be said about overkill on the news, on the local news when it comes to the Super Bowl. My God, you've got 15 minutes of Super Bowl coverage in a half an hour newscast. And then, oh, by the way, somebody was shot in North Minneapolis.
When you host the game, this is what happens to your local news. Especially this year, your local NBC affiliate is nothing but Super Bowl wall to wall. Whatever affiliate is carrying the game, believe me, for the past 2 weeks, you can't turn that station on. You can close your eyes while that station's on. You'll still see the Super Bowl logo.
Yeah.
Fortunately, they beat you over the head with it.
Fortunately, I don't watch that particular station for news. So,
but as an experienced Super Bowl hoster, we are accustomed to this. We know how to deal with this.
Oh my God.
And our brethren, our Cajun pals over in New Orleans and some other nitwits somewhere. We know what we're doing. The rest of you, rookies.
You know what's funny, though, seeing is how we...
I'm dressed today? That's pretty hilarious.
Well, I don't even want to describe it. So Uber, it's funny. They started...
Hold on for a sharp right turn.
Well, no. No, this is Super Bowl related.
Excuse me.
This is Super Bowl related.
Oh, okay.
They started their surge pricing up here in Minneapolis with a vengeance... the Friday before. It is so funny. I have made a point of every ride that I had to basically simulate that on Uber and have been cheaper by not just a couple of dollars, but by $4 or $5 per ride. And that's against XL. Or excuse me, not XL, Uber X, excuse me.
John.
I know. I sound surprised,
haven't you
right?
Heard? Uber is innovative.
Oh, yeah.
Uber's the future.
Yes, indeed.
Uber's cool. Not those dirty, stinking taxi cabs that can't ever find me. Did you know, according to the riding public, every cab takes at least an hour to show up?
Of course. That's it.
Well, they're trying to squeeze money out of the people coming into town. And, you know, look, those guys up there are going to bang their cars around. Excuse me. And for what? They'll get a couple dollars, you know, they'll get some tip money from the travelers. Look, I always found it really depended which team. See, when we host the Super Bowl here in South Florida, It's traditionally one team stays up in Fort Lauderdale in Broward County, the other team down in Miami. And it all depends which team you have. The year the Colts won, when Peyton Manning won his Super Bowl, they played the Bears here. That was the year it rained through the whole game. Let me tell you, it was miserable. I was at an outdoor party, which quickly became an indoor party. But
we don't have to worry about weather in South Florida for a Super Bowl now, do we?
No, that was the fluke. One of these days, I'll tell you how that whole weather pattern worked out. It was bizarre. It was basically over the stadium and not many other places, but it was strange.
The Bears were in the Super Bowl. That's probably why it was the dark cloud that was following them.
So we had the Colts up here in Lauderdale. And now, usually what happens here, whatever team is staying with you, you start seeing their people Tuesday, Wednesday. The diehards will come in. Tuesday, Wednesday. Most everybody else gets there Thursday, Friday. And certainly by Friday night, the town is packed with whatever your color is, with jerseys all over the place. The Indianapolis Colts fans, while fine, upstanding Midwestern human beings, I'm sure, do not travel well. I swear, that Friday night, I saw maybe a half a dozen people with Colts jerseys on. Mm-hmm. We had hardly... I was begging for why can't we have the Bears? It's interesting, too, because the Colts had beat the Patriots for the AFC Championship that year. We were praying for the Patriots because the Patriot fans travel very... Patriot fans would have been down here within however long it would take for the game, from the time the game ended, to get to Logan Airport and get on a plane. They would have been here for 2 weeks. It would have been a nonstop party for 2 weeks. And San Francisco fans are the same way as well. I can remember one year the Niners played here in the Super Bowl, and very reserved, very, oh, God, boring, the white wine crowd.
I will say one thing about New England fans in general. They are dedicated sports fans. I don't...
And they're fun. You're seeing them now. You're seeing them.
Sure. I'm not a big Patriots fan. I'm bored with them, quite frankly.
Oh, tell them that. They love that.
But having they take their sport seriously. I remember when Annie and I were in Boston, and I made a deflate gate joke. You could have heard a pin drop in that bus.
But now, if you can have a legit conversation with a Patriots fan, they'll tease you back and forth. But the next one you see today, tomorrow, you know, whenever say something like this. Just start the conversation with, you know, you guys know this is going to end soon, right? And they'll laugh and say, yeah, but we're enjoying it.
Enjoy because the ride.
They know at some point very, very soon they're going to go back to being the rented mule of the AFC East. And we go back to kicking their ass. Belichick and Brady will be gone. And they'll be back to just being, who?
Here's a Patriots question for you. Thinking about this the other day. The helmet design on the Patriots. Do you like
the dry cleaner?
The new one or the old one?
That's interesting. Logo. There's a dry cleaning franchise. I don't know if they're up by you. Called Colony Cleaners.
No.
Okay. Well, their logo is very, very similar to what the Patriots have. Mm-hmm. Now, I kind of liked Pat Patriot, the old logo. I kind of liked it, but on the other hand, you take the football away and it's just a Revolutionary War guy squatting for a dump. You know, I liked it, but I liked their old uniforms. I liked the old red with the white stripes on the shoulders. That I miss. I kind of like what they have now. I like the cleaning guy, the space age Elvis, if you will.
You see,
go ahead.
I'm the opposite because I feel the same way about Denver's helmet. I like the old Denver Broncos.
Now that's a whole different.
But yes, I like the old Patriots logo. I think that is cool. I think that, you know, yes, we all have to get with the 90s. I totally understand that.
With the 90s. Catch up to the 20th century, would you please?
Yes, exactly. That's I hate to say that, but that's why some cab companies have gone by the wayside.
We've
lost two cab companies here in the Twin Cities solely because they haven't adopted the technology at all. Voice dispatch in this industry, sadly, especially if you're trying to maintain a fleet of 30 to 50 cabs, it's obsolete. You cannot put orders out as fast as a company that's using computerized dispatch.
Right. I go back to the interview you had with the lovely and talented Christine Hubbard.
Yes.
And I really, really enjoyed the fact that I love the fact that they use that hybrid of voice and technology.
Yes.
Because I still feel it's very, very important for a driver to know somebody is right there on the other end of a radio. There's communication there without having to push a button and wait or get on a phone and maybe somebody will answer the phone. I think that's a fantastic system. I don't know how well it works. I don't know their system in and out. But when she described it that day, and what was I doing? Yes, I was being a coward and outrunning a hurricane that day. Mm-hmm. But
I would absolutely love to go up there one of these times and actually see how that works myself. I'm a little closer than you are, so.
Yeah, because we have no way to get to Toronto from South Florida.
Sometimes I wonder. I could drive is what I'm getting at.
Well, I could drive, too.
Yeah.
Something tells me I'd still beat you there.
I don't think so.
You don't know.
Yeah. But, I know we're all over the map here, but that's just how I do things. We were talking about Ubers banging around earlier. I think it's funny because when you said that, I was going to tell you, you're right on the money with that. I will guarantee you there's going to be a few taxis that are going to wind up in accidents today. We are in a situation here where, we're getting 2 to 4 inches of snow, and it's falling on cold pavement. And that will freeze instantly. And
yes,
you are going to have these inexperienced nitwits, like you like to say, out here in these Uber cars, and it's going to be like pinball, I'm telling you for it.
Well, what the big difference is that presuming a cab driver is doing everything he's supposed to do, okay? He's not speeding, he's not all that. Pinball games are going to happen, especially with snow and ice. So the driver, while he may have to go sit through a safety class or something like that, he's going to be back to work soon enough, and it's not going to come out of pocket, presuming it wasn't his fault. Mm-hmm. The Uber nitwits, on the other hand, well, that not only are they out of work, but they don't have their personal car until it gets fixed, if it gets fixed. And again, you don't know that the other person's insurance isn't going to fight it or this was where it all falls into why people think, oh, well, I can just pick up a car, just get in the car and drive. It's simple.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, you're going to see the proof come out of the pudding after this. And supposedly tomorrow, Super Bowl Sunday, it's just going to be cold. It's not going to be necessarily, what the hell are you doing? Shining, he's got his own fidget spinner here. Shining it in thank you very much.
Tomorrow, remember, you can see me, they can't.
Tomorrow is going to be a lot better weather-wise here. It's just going to be cold.
No, it's not.
It's just going to be cold.
I've said, there you go. That proves my point. It's not going to be better.
Bring the sub-zero weather, anywhere between 0 and 5 or 6 below. I'm fine with that, but when you start greasing up the roads with snow and that, then I have an opportunity. I could have went out and worked today.
You really should.
I really shouldn't. I am not going to get out here and bounce around. It doesn't mean that much to me. I made my quota for the week. I'm good.
Extra, baby.
Yeah. Ah, well.
A little extra cheese.
No. At what cost?
This is why they bring a Super Bowl to your city, my friend.
At what cost?
So that the little peons like you can go up and sniff at and grab a little piece of cheese, and you're happy and content for the next 5 or 10 years. They don't have to worry about you because they'll keep saying, we brought that big hunk of cheese in here for you.
Well,
you got to pick off as much or as little as you like. So now go back into your hole and
No,
you know,
I will get out nice and early on Monday. I might change my habits for Monday. Normally, I don't work the touristy spots that often, but I might go ahead and get a little.
Oh no, you want to? Seriously, you want to?
Yeah.
No, John, listen to me. From experience, you get out early, you get over to where those hotels are. They will be screaming for cars.
Well, of course, screaming. Of course, they'll be screaming. I know that, but here's the thing: does it matter where money is? Money.
No, you're right. It probably won't matter, but
all it will do is it'll serve to take the guys who really love that kind of stuff. It'll take them out of my way. It'll be less competition for the steady money for me, as far as I'm concerned. And that's
the way of looking at it. But yeah, look, I agree with you. If it sucks everybody else into one place, that leaves everything else wide open. It's a plan I've used successfully over the years. Don't go where everybody else is. Go where the cars are needed.
Exactly.
I hear you. I hear you. You know, exactly. And I agree with you. Speaking of Uber, were we speaking of Uber?
Well, somewhat.
Somewhat.
I had gas. Monday.
Finally. I have my big tub of popcorn ready. The Waymo Uber trial.
Oh, that's right.
They have finished jury selection from what I've been reading. And we get down to the nitty and the gritty. It's a 3-week trial. I can't wait. I don't know if it's going to be streamed anywhere. I hope so. I want to watch it so bad I can taste it. I won't understand half of what they're talking about, but good gosh. I can't wait. I cannot wait.
Okay, let me... Oh, my God, I can't believe I did this.
Messed up.
Yeah, well, Mr. Justin LaPlante contributed a little audio clip today from what's going on in Wisconsin. They're talking about totally deregulating the taxi industry to put them on the same lower level as Uber. Let me go ahead and play that, then we can get back to... I actually want to talk about it a little bit.
Justin LaPlante of RideSafe International here. RideSafe International is now a registered 501c3 in the United States. The transportation industry now has a nonprofit, nonpartisan resource for protecting consumer rights, consumer safety, and fair pay for all providers. This week we have something interesting to contend with here in the state of Wisconsin in the United States. Uber, along with their bribed and cronied Republican supporters in the Republican majority state legislature, and of course our Republican governor, have formulated a strange and dangerous new strategy in their bid to destroy the taxi and limo industry. They are now going to propose legislation to deregulate the taxi and limo industry so much that it would be just as dangerous and just as unaccountable as rideshares, Uber, and Lyft. Next week, on the 8th, I will be presenting evidence, and the Republicans and Uber have done everything they can to stop us from actually appearing at any public hearings to present evidence or put it on the public record. To try to circumvent what is happening, Senator Nass has belayed the numbering of the assembly bill, which had not even received a number outside of a rough draft, and has now announced that there will be a Senate bill, SB 759, which does not yet have publication on the contents of the bill or an announcement for a public hearing over that bill. They have, however, tried to hide from the public hearing that is happening on the 8th over the as-yet-unnamed assembly bill. All eyes will be on Wisconsin, as this legislation, if passed, would have a national reach throughout the U.S. and ultimately destroy the taxi and limo industry, simply by making it just as unaccountable, uninsured, and unchecked on driver backgrounds as Uber and Lyft are. This, of course, would lead to statewide operations of unvetted drivers for taxis invading other markets, oversaturating streets on busy nights, and ultimately having to sell out their dispatch options to the Uber and taxi app options for Lyft that both companies offer currently in cities like Chicago. Of course, if this legislation passes, Illinois, Indiana, and many of the other states where Uber and Lyft currently operate would be adopting it almost immediately. This could lead to a complete destruction of the taxi and limo industry in less than another calendar year. All listeners should go to www.ridesafeworld.com, check out the articles, and this Saturday at 6 p.m. we'll be launching a petition that you can sign, whether you are a Wisconsin resident or not. Our petition system is very annoying to legislature. Every time somebody signs it, each of the legislators gets an email. So go to www.ridesafeworld.com and take the simple 15-second process of signing our petition to stop this legislation from happening in Wisconsin and throughout the United States. We need to end the epidemic of sexual assault and the spike in crime caused directly by rideshare companies. And the taxi and limo industries do not need to become as unaccountable as rideshares just to stay ahead. This has been Justin LaPlante of RideSafe.
And there we are. So, and of
course, that was interesting.
Yeah. Well, Justin has a point here. Just a couple of days ago, an Uber driver had been arrested for kidnapping in Missouri. Again, you know, there's those great background checks that they do
now
on Uber drivers.
John, I need to pause you there for 1 second. I want to pass along to Joe Smith. Thanks for listening, Joe. I believe we took care of the issue. I'll find out on the replay. Somebody texted me to tell me we had a bit of an echo going out. So, but then again, Joe, you don't know that we weren't doing that intentionally.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. I interrupted, John.
No, that's quite all right. I wonder. We'll have to listen to the recording here to see. I bet I know why, though.
I'll bet I do too. And you know why?
Because it's big time.
Professional radio. There you go. Now we're talking. Now we got it. That's the only reason anything happens around here. So now let's say I was Joe Smith, who just was nice enough to text me. And while we appreciate a personal text, if he wanted to call into the show, is there a way he can do that, John?
He can. He sure can. It's
how would he do that?
He would call area 754-800-CHAT. 754-800-CHAT. That is, last four numbers would be 2428.
That is amazing that there's an actual way to contact this broadcast.
Yes.
From the outside. Now, here's the bigger question. Will it actually work?
Well, therein lies the problem.
Big time professional radio.
Yes.
Well, again, thanks to Justin for giving us that piece and, as always, giving us a lot to think about.
And always. I have thought about this a little bit. Because he's absolutely right in one instance, as far as the sexual assaults that are happening, that happen much more. You know, you'll get these Uber drivers. Oh, well, cab drivers do it too, man. Well, yes. Am I going to sit here and polish our industry's halo? No, it's never been that way. I will guarantee you. First off, nationwide, there are at least twice as many Ubers on the road as there are taxis.
Twice?
At least, I said. At least. Okay, let me rephrase that. There are twice as many active Uber drivers on the street at any given time.
I still think you're underselling it, Bell.
Okay.
at least 5 times.
You're probably right. You know, what's so funny about that is I have yet, in 2 years, I have yet to see the same Uber driver twice. Because you know,
see me every week.
Well, okay. Well, you know, you're kind of an exception, I guess.
Yes, thank you.
But no,
shucks, you're embarrassing me.
I've never seen the same guy twice, which tells me that they have way oversaturated, and is one of the reasons why guys and gals out there cannot make any money driving Uber, because
of course not.
The market is completely saturated, and yet what's so funny is they are so right now so busy with the Super Bowl things. Their surge pricing is up. Their response time is way down. I should say it's way up, I guess I should say, for response time. It is so funny. It is.
Yeah, but that's no difference than taxi or anybody else right now. On demand requests for transportation skyrocket during an event like this. Mm-hmm. And see, this is the type of event that people point to and go, well, this is why limiting the number of cabs is a bad idea. No, it's there are a few days out of the year when every city could use 1,000 more cabs. Mm-hmm. But we don't have to pretend what it would be like. We now know what it would be like. You put an unlimited amount of cars on the road, and sure, there's plenty of coverage for New Year's Eve, the Super Bowl you'll host once every 30 years. You'll never see another one. And, you know, the couple of big local events in town, a couple of big nights here and there. What was I going to say?
He's having a senior moment here, folks.
I had a moment. I had my phone. A text went off on my phone. I glanced at it, and I could. But we don't need all these cars. We don't need them. You know, and again, there's a reason for a limited number of cars, because you're also seeing what you're seeing when you say you don't see a lot of these guys twice. I mean, there's a lot of reasons for that, but mainly because all it takes is one breakdown. See, most of these drivers are not like me. When I know I've got to take it to my mechanic every 3-4 weeks for an oil change, he's checking my brakes. I'm having rotors done. I know I need tires, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I don't hide from my maintenance, and that's what a lot of these folks are doing. Hell, I'm seeing cars out there with mirrors hanging off, driving around on donuts. But hey, it's innovation. It's the future.
It's gonna take a couple of years for it to completely pan out. Unfortunately, whether
even if
Uber goes tits up, there's always going to be Lyft out there still.
Yes.
You know, so the whole rideshare concept probably isn't going to go away with the demise of Uber.
No, it's not. Even I don't believe that. I firmly believe that once Uber is gone, okay, now right now, Lyft is standing behind its big brother.
Yes.
Okay. And it's, remember that smart-ass little kid when you were growing up who always had a mouth, but he also had a brother the size of a building?
Yes.
And he hid behind it? Until one day he grew up, and guess what? Your brother's not here anymore, you big mouth little snot. And that's what's going to happen to Lyft. They're going to be easier to control once Uber is gone, because they do not have the financial wherewithal. They don't have the funds, the corruption money, the bribe money that Uber has.
Didn't Lyft pick up a rather large investor? About a month ago or so,
They picked up a few, but there's still the corruption part of it, I think, is over for the most part. There'll still be some brown paper bags left on doorsteps, to be sure. But Uber came in and pretty much sullied all the waters. You've got it now to the point. Look, the politicians that got their money, they're gone. They're gonna move on. They don't care. The corruption is there. By the time they're caught, it won't matter. That'll be way down the line. You've got drivers in the here and now that are paying the price for all this nonsense. But here's the way I see it. When Uber's gone, if the taxi companies at that point can get their act together, okay? And they literally have to change the business model, the way they deal with specifically drivers. We've talked about this a number of times. And I know it's difficult because, let's face it, most cab drivers are not lifers like us. They're not.
Exactly.
They don't care about the industry. And that's the toughest part about it. But presuming you can somehow overcome that, the industry has to rethink how it deals with drivers. Okay? And then they have a chance, a fighting chance against Lyft, and there's going to be others that'll sprout up, okay, to fill in the Uber spots. There will be other TNCs that will come to life, and everybody will be about the same size at that point. But again, I don't see the taxi industry being able to fight this because they don't want to do anything for the drivers. And I'm not talking about giving every driver a stretch limo and a 4,000 square foot home. I'm talking about the way companies deal with drivers and their money.
And that's the bottom line, is the money.
You've got to get rid of this insanity anymore of paying $400 or $500 a week up front for the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I understand your situation. You know, you've got a good company that seems to understand. I'm not saying there aren't good companies out there. I'm talking about the industry in general. Okay, you know, you can't charge a guy $500 and say good luck. You know, and maybe he takes in $700 over the course of the week. Mm-hmm. The cab companies have to put some skin in the game.
And it can be done. It can be done.
It used to be done. Well, it used to be the old commission system.
Yeah.
60-40, 55-45. It's been done in this industry.
There are still some companies out there, still some situations where that happens.
The split.
The split. Las Vegas comes to mind. Just about, well, let me put it this way. Wichita Falls and Corpus Christi, Texas also do it that way. It's a complete meter split. The only problem with that system, and don't get me wrong, it comes in handy when it's a bad day. I understand right. that. The other part of that is that when you do that 50-50 split, you are all of a sudden that the owner of that company, the owner of that cab, wants you out there humping ass for the entire time when you are. You want to pull over and take a nap somewhere because it's been a long day? Hell with you, son. If I catch you sleeping out there, I'm taking your ass out of the cab.
Well, I agree. It's not going to be simple. But before, I understand that a flat lease payment up front makes life easier initially for everyone involved. Here, here's my money. I'll see you next week.
Mm-hmm.
Leave me alone. And the companies are but now the companies are taking in the money when they can get fully paid.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, the drivers are out there, and I'll just use my own experience. Nobody cares. You show up and, oh, it was a bad address. Oh, well, wait for the next call. Well, I just lost an hour and a half of my day waiting for that call. And the company has there's nothing in it for they lose nothing. They lose nothing. And I've always said that if the company had skin in the game and it cost them money every time a driver didn't pick up, I promise you we would have DNA samples on every customer.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right.
There's no question about it. Oh, by the way, for anybody that thinks it's both customers and call takers, because I deal with Uber now, where these people put in their own, can't be bothered to put in their own address.
Well, you are absolutely right there.
They use this current location nonsense, and it's, oh my God, I got one the other day that just said Bayview Drive. No numerical, nothing like that. I was sitting at a mall. There's a lot of business that comes out of there, and the pin was on the other side of the mall, back on the residential street. And it turned out the woman was 10 feet away from me at the main entrance to the mall. When I finally found her, she says, well, I moved the pin. Why? Why didn't you just put in Galleria where you were?
Oh, well, that's a lot of work.
You know,
is it any more work than me having to charge you for the cancellation when I can't find you? Because guess what, kids? Uncle Ed's days of hunting people down are long gone. I got screwed enough times for free in the cab business.
I have one theory. One policy I go by, I do not chase moving targets.
No. And I've said that to more than one person over the years.
You call for a cab, and then you decide, stay put, because I am not going to, I don't give a shit if you walked across the street. I am not chasing your ass down.
Well, but what I get often is you'll get a range of addresses, 1700 to 1900 Main Street. Now, what am I supposed to do, drive up and down Main Street? Sure, there's a pin and a GPS pin, but I don't know, you know. Oh, here, this one happened. This was my favorite. This is my new favorite. I'm on the beach road in Fort Lauderdale, A1A. For those of you familiar, I was north of Sunrise Boulevard. So I get this. I had just dropped a couple of blocks north of there. And so I get an Uber call. There's no address. It shows that literally no address, nothing. It shows now that road, you can go straight down the beach, or there's a curve that veers west. Well, from what I could make out, the pin had it stopped in the middle of an intersection, but the ID, it shows where the actual customer it is sometimes, had her on the curve. So had I stopped to find her,
I would have been
stopped on a blind curve.
Yeah.
I pulled into the hotel across the street, sat there. The 5 minutes was just about up. And I always send them a text. I have a canned message that says, you put in a bad location or address. Please update it. Very rarely do they respond. And I don't care at that point. So just as the time was up, she calls me. Oh, are you sitting in the white van? I said, yeah, I am. She says, well, I'm still here. I said, I don't know where here is. Well, I can see you. That's great. I can't see you. I knew where she was. And then I turned around and I looked. She was still on that same bench in the most dangerous spot to pick up I've ever seen.
People don't understand that. What could happen would even be worse than if you were just sitting there waiting for her getting rear-ended would be the fact that she was halfway inside your van, not having the door closed. Somebody mm-hmm. rear-ends you and the impact damn near cuts her in half.
Yep. So, because let's remember, Uncle Ed knows everything, and Uncle Ed knows.
People just don't think. That is the bottom line, is people just do not think.
People not terribly bright.
Exactly.
Well, you know what it's time for right now?
If they're using the Uber app, they're not necessarily bright to begin with. So,
well, there's that. Well, you know what it's time for? We're going to move on. We got other things to talk about. For the final time this year. So here we are, kids and kittens, for the final time this year. Our final picks of the year, Ed versus the Spread. As always, if you're depending on us to satisfy your gambling needs, you got bigger issues than we're prepared to deal with here. John Shannon, we currently stand. Can you hear me, John Shannon?
I can hear you.
Okay. We currently stand at, I have 35 wins. You have 34 wins.
Mm-hmm. Thanks to my Vikings coughing up a hairball.
Hey, that's why they call it gambling, my friend. So I'm going to be nice to you and give you the option of choosing first.
Uh-huh.
Currently, the Patriots are favored by 5 points.
Is that all?
Sir, please make your selection.
Well, I hate to say it. I thought the spread was bigger than that.
It's not.
So this
you're thinking of your ass. Oh!
That's it. North Korea, if you decide to drop the big one.
You're going back to Blog Talk Radio next week, aren't you?
Exactly. No, with that spread, I got to take the Patriots.
You're going to take the Patriots. Okay.
Okay.
So you're taking the Patriots -5.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
See,
I thought
the spread was larger, and I was thinking about if the spread was around 10 or 11, I was going to go with the Eagles. But 5 points, I think the Patriots will cover that.
Now, there's the distinct possibility that you could win
leaving us tied, and that just won't do.
Yes?
So we need a tiebreaker.
Oh, shit.
And I've thought long and hard about this. And I was originally going to go with the opening coin toss, but that gives it away too early. So here's what you're going to do, my friend. You're going to give me a final score with the Patriots winning. And I'm going to come up with a final score with the Eagles winning. And whoever comes closest, the difference.
Well, I'll tell you what. I will go with one of
our... Just tell me how many points you think New England will score.
I think that they will put up 27 points.
You think 27 points. And I believe them they're Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly. I don't know anything about Philadelphia. I don't.
I'm going to put them... It's actually a great city. Their football. It's actually a great city. Their football fans just suck. Right here.
I am going to go with 28 points. I think the Eagles are going to have a fantastic offensive day. Now, just for kicks and giggles, I don't know that we'll need it, but just to have it, the over-under is 48. How choose you, sir? Over or under? You think combined they'll score more than 48 points or fewer than 48 points?
Fewer.
So you'll take the under, which puts me on the over. All right, kids and kittens, that completes Ed versus the Spread. We will not be picking any more games until September.
Now
we will have a review next week.
Explain just how we did that to the listener. Okay, so I'm picking.
I thought I explained it pretty well.
I'm picking. I take it where you're going with the Eagles.
Oh, I'm going to review it. Let me review it.
Yeah, review
you're
it.
Right.
Thank you.
So, John is taking New England, giving up 5 points. I am taking Philadelphia, getting 5 points. As a tiebreaker, John has predicted that New England will score 27 points. I believe Philadelphia will score 28, whichever one of us comes closer to the actual number
will
win
over.
That tiebreaker.
No. Well, are you going closer either way or closer without going
either way,
over?
Either way. Okay. We ain't got time for that nonsense. And just for kicks and giggles, we picked the over-under. Now, that's the combined score. It's currently at 48 points. John believes the score will be less than that combined. I believe Tom Brady's going to be throwing balls up into the roof of the Metrodome. And
get it right. It's U.S. Bank Stadium.
Whatever. Nobody cares. It's cold. Nobody cares. And so by the end of by tomorrow night, we'll all know that Ed is still indeed the champion. Now, remember, if the Eagles win,
well, if the Eagles win, it's all over.
Lose by less than 5 points, Uncle Ed wins, as it should be. Bearing in mind, John has cheated the whole time. Now, if by some chance John Shannon wins this overall, there will be a memo produced on Monday explaining how all the cheating went on and everything that happened. So
he will not want to play this game if I win.
So with that, kids and kittens, now we're going to conclude Ed versus the Spread for the season, with the exception of our wrap-up next week. And so, again, if you're going out gambling this weekend, just go get a pizza instead, okay? I'm Ed. That was Ed versus the Spread. John, that's John. He's a cheater.
And you are, you know, I hate to rehash this, but you remember when Gore lost the election to Bush?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, right, you don't. When Gore lost that election and he was talking about it, I think he should have won. But some smart ass called that ticket instead of Gore Lieberman, they were calling Sore Loserman.
Oh. Had nothing to do with me, sir.
It has a lot.
I have Devin Nunes on my committee here, who has promised me that he can prove that you've been cheating.
So
let's not monkey around with that now. Now we have some other things to talk about.
Yes.
First things first, if I can find what I'm looking for, you, sir, have a birthday coming up this week, don't you?
Yes, I do. Friday.
What day is that?
Friday. February.
Friday the 9th. That's what I thought. You know who else has a birthday this week?
Mr. Ed Van Ness.
That is correct. On the 7th.
On the 7th.
So I just wanted to get that all out of the way, and we will be talking about my birthday celebration much more on Monday night. Hey, what's going on Monday night, John?
What is going on Monday night? Well, this
coming...
Well, this Monday night will be... Do I have to say this again, for Christ's sake?
Yes, yes you do.
It is Uncle Ed's primetime. That's right, I forgot that word. Primetime Jamboree.
With the full title, Radio TFI presents Uncle Ed's Primetime Jamboree.
Okay, well...
What time does that... Does that program, and that's with two M's and an E, what time does the program air?
I hate to say it. I think, what is it, 8 o'clock your time?
8 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, how about that? I just took that out of my ass. To tell you the truth, I have all I can do to try to get ready for the show that will happen this following, not this Sunday, but the following Sunday.
Why? What's happening the following Sunday?
The following Sunday is the... redo, if you will, of the Shannon
Rebirth.
Files. Rebirth, yes, exactly.
So, John, would you like to know how the primetime jamboree...
I would love to, because it's going to determine whether or not I listen.
Okay, well. I can tell you this much about Radio TFI Presents Uncle Ed's Primetime Jamboree, Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern on Radio TFI. I can tell you honestly, I will be as equally prepared for that show as I am for the Taxi Stand Hour every week.
In other words, you're going to fly by the seat of your pants.
Yeah, more or less. More or less. There will be music. There will be some funny stuff. I will be hilarious. I plan to be. We will have guests every now and again. Just so you know, we haven't set a date for it yet, but we will be having a disco night very, very soon. I have a disco expert, my friend Mike King. He goes back to, he was there during the Saturday Night Fever days at the disco and Saturday Night Fever. He was in Brooklyn at that place. He's a disco guy, so we're going to – one of these weeks coming up very soon. We haven't set a date on it yet. We're going to play a lot of disco. We're going to talk a lot of crap. He wants to introduce me to his pal, Rip Van Disco. Apparently, this man fell asleep in Studio 54, woke up 40 years later, and hilarity ensues.
I still like what happened at Comiskey Park all those years ago when
disco sucks.
Yeah. And they were burning all the disco 45s.
Yeah, they're going to blow them up. They're going to blow them up games of doubleheader.
Yep. That didn't work out so well as I remember.
The White Sox had to forfeit the second game. I believe it was to Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And, but yeah. Also, now, we've been in intense negotiations. As you folks are well aware of by now, I am the vessel through which Gil Christ communicates with the rest of you low life human beings. Now, we originally were trying to get Gil Christ his own show, but every meeting we scheduled, he didn't show up. That's not entirely true. He did show up to one meeting, but only because he thought it was an open bar. So. But we do anticipate Gil Christ showing up occasionally. We have no set schedule for him, and there's no telling when he'll be there. It's very much at his whim. And for those of you that don't remember, Gil Christ is Jesus's cooler brother. Jesus saves, Moses invests, Gil Christ squanders.
I heard that he's actually looking to renegotiate his contract already.
Again, we can't get him to show up. We got to promise some drinks and strippers. It's a delicate situation, and
yeah. Oh,
my lap can only stand so much dancing.
Yes.
You know, we're trying to get him to actually appear himself, but for right now, he's content with just appearing through me. So I always have to be on the ready for that. And You know, it gets tough sometimes.
If people didn't know any better right now, I think some people would actually be looking to perform an exorcism on you, except to kind of get Gilchrist out of you.
Well, kind of. There are days I want them out. You know, you wake up in a jail cell or that kind of thing, or in the bottom of a trash barrel. It's, you know, it can be trying. It can be very trying being the vessel of an ethereal supreme being.
Yeah.
Or Gilchrist, for that matter.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're learning to deal with it. Obviously, the relationship with Gilchrist is still relatively new. You know, I found my savior back in September as I ran from Hurricane Irma. And Mike King, again, was with me when we discovered and embraced the love of Gilchrist. And you know you've been embraced by Gilchrist because you can, when he embraces you, you can smell the cigarettes and stale beer all over his clothing. So,
folks, one but anyway, of these
that's
days.
That's a little bit of Radio TFI presents Uncle Ed's Primetime Jamboree, Monday nights 8 p.m. Eastern here on Radio TFI.
One of these days you're going to witness Mr. Ed Van Ness with his head spinning and him puking out pea soup because somebody is going to try to perform an exorcism on him from Gilchrist. I'm jealous.
Hey, I got a question for you.
Yes.
What's the difference between mashed potatoes and pea soup?
Do tell.
Anybody can mash potatoes.
Not everybody can pea soup.
Thank you. I'll be here all week.
Yeah, okay. Well,
hey, John, what are you going to do?
I have no idea. No. basically, what it's going to wind up being is going to be a mashup of some memories and some opinion, to be honest with you. I've already tapped into the Radio TFI music vault for some wonderful...
You left the door open, by the way.
Yeah, well, that was just to air the son of a bitch out. But
I let Gilchrist sleep down there for a couple nights. Maybe not the best.
Yes, exactly. But it's going to be music, memories, and quite frankly, some opinions. There's been a lot of things that have, you look at current events from the previous week, and you say, God damn, that was stupid. Why the hell did they do that? What, you know? So yes, there will be opinion. For anyone,
I can promise you, there will be no opinions on Radio TFI presents Uncle Ed's Primetime Jamboree here on Radio TFI, 8 p.m. Eastern, by the way, Monday nights.
I will from time to time have guests on. I haven't lined up any of them, but I know that I have a couple people that I have in mind that I have had on the old Shannon Files. By the way, this incarnation, while there will be some politics involved, I'm not going to go overboard on politics. I'm not going to go overboard on the taxi industry. But, like I've said, the taxi industry has been my livelihood for damn near 35 years. Of course, I'm going to talk a little bit about it.
So now my understanding is, or at least people are concerned, that the taxi stand hour is going away.
No.
Can you confirm or deny that, sir?
The taxi stand hour is not going to go away.
Really?
Ed and I are still, we have become attached to each other somehow, some way.
And it's not pretty.
It's not,
I want to tell you.
It's not a pretty sight, but yes, you were right. But all in all, yes, the taxi stand hour will still be here. We can't abandon this.
No, no.
So there are people that wish we'd abandon it, but no, we're not going
to. Well, you know, that's just the way it goes. We're spreading our wings. We're each going to do our own little thing. And, and again, hopefully my little carved out niche, Radio TFI presents Uncle Ed's Primetime Radio Jamboree. God
shit,
damn it,
can't
I can't
even
remember.
Yeah,
it.
There you go.
So take us out, son.
Well, there we are.
Take us out. We're playing the music.
We're playing the music. Yes, we are. I bet you can't hear it, though, can you?
Well, I'm playing it on my end too, so I can hear it.
Oh my! You know that's gonna come across now as complete echo. So either you stop or I stop.
No, don't worry about it. Keep on going, son.
All right. Well, We have another...
You can stop.
You have another issue of the Taxi Stand Hour on Radio TFI.
That's big-time professional radio,
yes,
kids.
Yes, it is. Indeed. It is in the can again, and not that can, hopefully.
All right. Say goodbye, John.
We will see you next Saturday.
I will see you Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, for Radio TFI Presents Uncle Ed's Primetime Jamboree, 8 p.m. Eastern, live here on Radio TFI. Say goodnight, Dick.
I'm John Shannon. Adios.
See ya!